Your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Glad to be in the house of God. Appreciate you being here. As we turn our attention to the Word of God, this chapter deals with the promise of the gospel, and we're going to look at part of that tonight. As it deals with the promise of the gospel about the rapture of the church, we, in two parts of an outline here, see simply that we see the directions before the rapture in verses 1 through 12, and then the declarations about the rapture in verses 13 down to verse 18. And as we look in this tonight, if you'll take, let's start with verse 1. We begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Now you'll notice he says, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." As we look tonight in the Word of God and we get into this chapter tonight, we want to look at a simple message tonight on these first 12 verses on living for the Lord. Living for the Lord. You and I are undoubtedly in the last days, and we're to wait for His coming, as this epistle has instructed us at the end of all five chapters. But there is life before He gets here, and there's something He wants us to do before He comes. And we want to see that from the Bible tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a work in our hearts tonight. God, that you'll stir us up by the Holy Ghost of God through the preached Word of God to live for you. And Father, while we come to you tonight, we pray for understanding of the Scriptures according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look tonight, before we see what the Bible says about living for the Lord, I want to reflect on some modern people's philosophy on what this world thinks living for him is. Number one, you go to church when you can or have nothing else better to do. If there's no ball game on, if your team's not playing, then you go to church. But if a big team, big game's on today, I'm going to tell you something. They hadn't made the game big enough that was better than the worst church service you've attended. Right. Because all things God does is important.
Amen.
I've had people tell me over the years, they say, "Well, now you small churches," and they say that to mean you're running 500.
Yeah.
Wonder what they call us, a micro church? But either way, sticks and stones, right? Well, listen, they don't ever want to tell Charles Haddon Spurgeon's conversion. How the preacher couldn't make it for all the snow that day, and some guy got up and preached anyway, and Charles Spurgeon got saved as a young boy.
Amen.
Handful of people there. Like I said, the smallest crowd might have God's biggest business in it. I'd want to be tuned into what God has and rather what this world has. And I'll be quite honest with you. I'm with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys owner. If you won't salute that flag, you are no longer part of the team.
Amen.
This ain't an individual show. This ain't the National Politics League. Look, listen, we'd all figure that out. Just because there's politics out there don't mean everybody's got to be involved in it, including sports networks of all things.
Amen.
They're all figuring out something. Why are we losing ratings? Because you're talking about politics instead of sports.
Yep.
We don't want to hear about politics. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Look, the election's over. We won. Let our guy do what he's going to do next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your girl lost, then, well, you know how it is. And you can't tell me I wasn't fair during this past election. I said, go in behind that curtain and vote for the best man for the job.
Amen.
Amen. I stand by that. Number two, when modern philosophy comes into church on how they ought to live for the Lord, they feel like they only need to acknowledge they're a Christian if it means some kind of advancement for them. In other words, if they are applying for a job down at City Hall and they say, we only want Christians to work here. Well, I'm a Christian. I checked that box over there. Listen, you can check a box on applications, you're a Christian, but that don't make you one.
Right.
Jesus Christ is what makes a Christian. He births them in the family of God out of a life of sin and death into a life of fruit and eternal life. That's not a box on a piece of paper. And by the way, we don't use the fact that we're a Christian to try to get ahead in this world, because according to this word right here, that don't work.
Amen.
If somebody comes along and says, well, where my job is, if you ain't a Christian, they won't hire you. I bet you're working with a bunch of lost people. You know how I know that? Well, if they know they got to say they got to be a Christian to get the job, guess what they're going to tell you? Of course I am. I was baptized in fill in the blank. And then the next words out of their mouth after you say that will make you a Christian is, don't judge me. I thought about something. I ran into a guy the other day. He was a city judge up here at Gaffney. And I guess he works for the county too. He's going in jail up there. We run into each other. And we was looking at each other. I said, man, you look old. He said, at least I got my hair. I said, but what I got still black, amen. I said, that's the way this thing works, right? And we was going on about that. I said, what do you do for a living now? He said, well, I'm the judge now. I said, pardon me 1,000 times. If I'd known that, I'd have never said anything. Right? But I did let him know before we walked off, don't you judge me. The Bible says. Wonder why nobody brings that up in court, you know. The trial of their life. Are you saved or lost? Don't you judge me. They go in there for some flippant something. Well, yes, sir, Your Honor. Don, tell him too. Listen. You know before you walked in there how bad you was? Tell him, don't you judge me. Tell him how the Bible says that. I promise you this, if he knows anything, he's going to quote you the context of that verse, fine you, put you out of the courtroom, and finish your trial without you. So you don't have to hear his judging on you. See, people won't acknowledge they're a Christian if it's going to get them something. And then we also find out that number three, people's philosophy about the things of God and living for the Lord is this. Only pray if it's an emergency. I remember growing up in every school I attended, they had a little glass box on the wall. And it'd say something like, in case of emergency, break this glass. And I never understood that because most of the schools I grew up in, that glass was in clay, had wire in the glass. So if you'd have broke the glass, you couldn't have got through to the thing anyway. Now figure that out. Break the glass, and you break the glass, what happens? Absolutely nothing. We can't get in there because of that. Well, somebody go get the principal. He's got the key. Oh, wait a minute. He's the reason we're doing this. He's fell out. What are we going to do? We can't break the glass and get in to do this thing, see? Case of emergency. Hey, listen, I remember years ago, they used to put up these little glass tubes. And they'd enclose things in them and say, in case of emergency, break glass. Some of them had toilet paper in them. Remember those? Some of them have a toothbrush in there. In case of emergency, break glass. I hope you don't consider brushing teeth an emergency. But listen, prayer is not hidden behind that glass. It's not an emergency action. It's a daily fellowship with the Lord. And if we're going to walk with Him and we're going to live for Him, that's got to be part of our life, not the emergency part.
Right.
You ever notice when people get out of the emergency room, they go from a drunkard to godly Christian praying saint? So how do you know? I look at Facebook too. Y'all seen it. Big party at Mike's and blah, blah, blah. We're going to be doing this and yon, 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 yon. Well, then they go to Mike's and somebody busts a bottle over somebody's head. Now they ought to murder. Please pray for such and such. They're about to bleed to death, you know. Those two things don't mix, by the way. But I do find out that in the Word of God, He does tell us how to live for the Lord. And He tells us right here in 1 Thessalonians 4. And before He ever gets to the part in this chapter about the rapture of the church, He wants the church to do right. And if you'll notice this, the Bible says for us, first off, in verse 1, to walk in holiness. And we do that so we can please God. It says in verse 1, it says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. What is the goal there? To please God. How are we going to do that? To walk in holiness. Not to act like holiness, to walk in holiness. And see, our aim and our desire for what we do is to please God. We were talking in Sunday school this morning and looking at the Christian life and things like that. And it all boils down to this. Do we love Him enough that we want to keep Him happy, or do we want to keep this world happy? Our only choice between the two things is either we're out to please this world, we're out to please ourselves, or we're out to please God. But I promise you this, you can't please all three of them things at the same time. Because if you're pleasing the world, you might be pleasing self, but you won't be pleasing God. If you're pleasing self, you might please part of the world. You definitely won't please God. But if you please God, you've got to die to self and die to this world to be able to get that done. And when we walk in holiness, it's because we want to obey God. He says in verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. He said, you know what kind of commandments we gave? We want you to obey God. I've never met an honest Christian that's spirit-filled and loves Jesus that don't want the perfect will of God for their life. That's what they want. If they pray and they say, Lord, I want the perfect will of God for my life. Lord, I want you to lead me in the perfect will of God. Here it is, verse 3. For this is the will of God. Now, whatever's past this is definitely the perfect will of God, right? Mm-hmm. He says this, even your sanctification, and your sanctification is you being set apart in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that you should abstain from fornication. So that's the will of God. Now, as I look at that text, and you're looking at AD 54, somewhere around there where they're at here, we're in AD 2017. Do you realize that it was just as important then to preach on that as it is right now? Yeah. Now that this world is driven by that thing, by fornication and the devil and everything else, he said that you abstain from it. Let me put it out there plain for you and get it in modern vernacular. We understand this. You're not marrying a car you don't need a test drive. You're not going out to pick a model out and then trade it in a few years on a later model. Amen. That's not marriage, and that's not holy. Amen. That's not obeying God. Well, such and such don't make me happy. Do they make God happy? Right? Amen. We're not out to please us, remember. We're out to live for the Lord. And to walk in holiness, we must walk to obey God. He points out for point blank, he said that you should abstain from that activity. That's not when you feel like it, don't feel like it. He should abstain from it altogether. So how can I do that? By not being the place where you would be tempted to do so. I heard somebody tell me a while back they thought I was preaching on them because I was preaching on this very subject, because I was preaching on this, I guess, about 10 years ago. And they said, you was just pointing me out, and everybody knew it. And I wasn't pointing you out. I was pointing everybody out. Listen, I'm not one of them point-you-out preachers. I'm all-inclusive. I want everybody to get in on the message. You say, but I'm happily married. He or she could die tomorrow, and then you wouldn't be, and you had to need this instructions. I'm going to try to help you out just in case you got to break the glass. Why don't you be able to get by the strings over there and find out what to do? Amen, friend. You never know who something like this is going to help. I notice he points out, and he says this, he wants us to walk in holiness so that we may glorify God. If you look at verse 4, he said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not, it says, in the lust of concupiscence, say, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now let me show you something here. He points out in that verse right there about something that people call, he said, that everyone know how to possess his vessel. You and I live in a body, and we possess this vessel right now. One day our life will be over, we'll leave this vessel behind. And the real us, our soul, will go to where its final destination is supposed to be. And as we look at this thing, he tells us about our vessel. He points out plainly, now look at this, that he that you are to possess that vessel in two things, sanctification and honor. God wants you to glorify him in your body, because he's repeatedly given us commands over and over concerning your body. Our body is the temple of the Lord, right?
Aye.
Now, if our body is the temple of the Lord, let me ask you this. Would you come in here today? Were you one of them people that come in here today and shove trash in the back of these pews? So I wouldn't do that. That's the house of God. Don't shove trash in your vessel either.
Amen.
You wouldn't want me to pull down the screen right here and show something bad on the screen, would you? Well, of course you wouldn't. This is the house of God. Well, you the temple of God, which put the screen up in front of your face showing bad things. Sanctification, being set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ and his service. What'll that do? That'll change how you view things. But he gets down here in verse 5 and uses the strangest thing. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, concupiscence is like a strong sexual desire. And apparently, he said, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Boy, you talking about talking to your audience. Who's sitting there? These are the people that worship the goddess Diana and the temple prostitutes. Imagine living in a town where the prostitutes were given a higher regard than the police are. That was this place. That was this area. They walked around in the lust of that thing. And that was their God and their goddess down there at that temple. But he said over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said that they turned from idols in verse 9 to serve the living and true God. By doing that, what did they do? They turned from God. They wanted to glorify God, not in that kind of lust like that. But it says, even as the Gentiles which know not God, they didn't want to be like other Gentiles. They wanted to be like what God wanted them to be and walk in holiness. You see, that means everything to God, because he's the one giving the instructions through the Apostle Paul here. You and I, we need to take in our day and age that we live in and set our minds to the fact that we want to walk in holiness for no other reason but just so God can get the glory out of you and I. Just so he can. Not so we can or whoever can, but so God can get the glory out of what all we live by. And I promise you this, nobody lives a perfect life before man nor God. But if we want to do what's pleasing to God, we're going to do less at what pleases man. Say, amen, preacher, that's good preaching. You ain't trying to politic nobody. You ain't mollycoddling nobody tonight. You are laying him out there just as straight as can be.
Amen.
Amen, friend. Now, if you'll notice down in verse number 6, he says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because, you might ought to underline this, that the Lord is avenger of all such, as also we have forewarned and testified. Who's the avenger? The Lord is. He said, for God hath not called us uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but despises God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. So we want to walk in holiness. Get this, to escape the judgment of God, because we look at the judgment of God, we tell ourselves, that's for somebody that's a bad person. What if you are the bad person? Do you notice how he said that the Lord is avenger of all? If you defraud somebody that's your brother in Christ, God will take care of you. I've had people tell me all my life, don't mess with the things of God, don't talk about the things of God, let God handle all that. And around that statement is things over and over where God has reached out and touched people for whatever reason for attacking his people. Leave them alone. Listen, do not play the fool in this little story called life. You might want to walk in holiness and try to follow the Lord as to try to... When people try to do this stuff and they try to work over other Christians, I don't like that stuff. It's kind of like that thing where I don't know if y'all watch this. This might not be too spiritual for somebody, but Sanford and Son.
Amen.
And finally, I'm getting some life in here. Where'd that come from? Oh, there we go. This old white guy come up to Fred, and he said, "Well, I'm a Christian." He said, "Fred said I am too." He said, "Well, what kind of Christian? Where you go to church at, Fred?" Fred looked at the old white guy and said, "I'm a Greek Orthodox." He said, "I'm a Baptist, you dummy." Next thing you know, Fred Lamont can't get no water out of the spigot because that good Christian brother stole all her copper. I promise you, I'm starting the Fred Sanford Bible study like this Andy Griffith one. He said, "This is going to be mine. I'm going to get together and work that thing out one day."
Amen.
But see, that story happens every day around here. I got a pastor friend that told me he won't hire a man that advertises he's a Christian business on the outside for construction. He said, "When we go get stuff built here at the church and we have to go to an outside source," he said, "I find out whoever don't advertise and try to make a big deal out of them being a Christian."
Yep.
He said, "Because I can tell what they are when they get here."
Amen.
I said, "Man, how you figure that out?" He said, "Well, by the time they get their trucks unloaded, by what time they get them unloaded, I know whether they're living for the Lord or not." "Man, I got a hangover. Help me get this ladder off this truck, man. All tangle-eyed looking in the morning. Oh, y'all, what are y'all? Oh, we're Christians, man. We're Christians. We're Christians." And they come in there and give about a half day's work, spend most of the time sitting around taking a break and all this other stuff. Say, "Hey, you boys good Christians? Yeah, why are you stealing from me right now?" Listen, don't walk out there and try to do your Christian brother over, because God is the avenger of all. He takes care of that stuff. I've had people tell me, I said, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I do Christian work and this, that, and other." I put them to work and I can't find God nor them after I pay half the money.
Amen.
True story. Brother Raleigh Lindsay taught me a lesson back when we was remodeling the house. He said, "You need to fire that whole crew of people." I said, I didn't even ask why, I just figured he's right, so I went and fired him. Boy, listen, hey. You need to listen to people that's older than you and tell them you stuff, trying to help you out, and you young dummy like you are. Because they may know something and following the Lord better than you are, and they may know something to kind of help you out a little bit. All I know is that very crowd we put out, boy, God brought the hammer down on them. You ever wonder why they have these permits uptown? Everybody complains about it. They say, you ain't got to get no permit to do that. I know how to do my work. No, the reason they got that is because somebody came along and tried to gyp somebody out of something by not having no permit and done a bunch of shoddy work, got by with it, and then they found that shoddy work, but it's too late. They done out of business now. I'll never forget the inspector in Gaffney come up one day, and he saw a sign in my yard. He said, "Who are these people?" I said, "It's them people right over there." He said, "They ain't been to my office." I said, "They're right over there, boss." He walked in the tune. By the time he walked out of the house, everything I'd paid them was in fines. It was only $250, so they didn't have the permit. The rest of it, he got them for their work. So I don't like him, inspectors. I like them. Homeowners love them. Because, see, I didn't know all that stuff he knew. But he did. Hey, if you're going to do a job for somebody, don't go advertising Christian. Go in there and do a Christian job. And treat them people fair and give them a living wage off the thing. And don't try to rip people off on every sale. Do you know that there's people in these graveyards in Gaffney, South Carolina, because there's Christians that was using Christianity for a business, and they were ripping people off at 93% profit? Amen, friend. Y'all quiet, because y'all one of the ones got ripped off probably. And your pride won't let you admit that, but I'm telling you, God avenges such as that.
Amen.
You ever heard of the Avengers? Well, guess who's the first one? Right there he is in the Bible. I'm telling you, they steal 95% of the movie plots right out of the scriptures. The Avengers. He's the Avenger. Amen. Say, can he take the hook? Like that. No problem at all. Amen. Now notice something here. The Bible tells us to walk in holiness. And then you get down to verse 9, it starts talking about us walking in harmony. He says in verse number 9, but as touching brotherly love, he says, you need not that I write unto you. He says, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We ought to walk in harmony. And where should we walk in harmony at? First place, at the church. He points out as touching brotherly love. He said, we don't have to really sit down and have classes on God is love, because you know that thing because you taught of God inside that. That lets me know when we get to the house of God, the easiest thing to do here is love one another, because we already know how to do it. Is that what your Bible says? Am I reading it wrong? What I see is that talks about walking in harmony with people. You know why churches split? Let me tell you the real reason. Because people don't know how to act. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to put up with nobody. And they're usually a bunch of spoiled brats on one side or the other or both. We're going to do this my way, with the teeth gritted. Oh boy, I'm going to do it my way. Can't you see Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount? Doing all that stuff like that. Can't you see Zacharias going in the temple to visit that angel? Him saying, you are going to have a child too. Hey, let me show you something here. He said, you don't even need to write a whole chapter out on this, because you're taught of God to love one another. Why do churches split? Because churches are full of lost people that have never been converted. Amen. When we come to the South, it's a wonderful experience down here. You got chicken places and churches on all sides of town. Restaurants and churches everywhere. Praise the Lord, pass the chicken, man. We got all that.
Amen.
We go up north and we find something else. Strip club, bar, strip club, bar, strip club, bar. And a huge police presence out there that can't control all of it. So at least we're not like you guys. We don't have all them fake churches down here. Well, we ain't got fake churches down here. We ain't got no real churches hardly down here left no more. Hey, man. So I think all the churches are good. You need to wake up. Hope this storm the next couple days washes some water across your face and wakes you up. Because when they cease to preach and teach Jesus Christ, they're no longer His. And when they don't teach you the Word of God, and they're all the time trying to keep you busy in activities, they're probably missing the main activity. And that's Jesus Christ. Do you know Paul said, he said, I bring my body and bring it under subjection. Why? I want to walk in harmony with people. I want to love them. I want to help them do what I can, walk with them and put up with them the best I can, because I don't want to be as one that beats the air. You ever seen somebody shadow box? Them boxers ain't do a thing. They'll stand on their toes, they'll bounce around, do it. That's impressive looking, ain't it? So I don't think that's too tough. Try it for 5 minutes. Let's everybody stand up and try that 5 minutes. Tell me how you feel after 5 minutes of this. You know what you do? About 2 minutes in, you're going to say, too old shadow boxing. Don't give me no real opponents either. You know. Now you know why them boxers like to knock them out in that first round. They don't want to have to go 12 rounds either. But you'll find out something. What appears to be easy is not easy. And what it lets me know is all that faking stuff they do, it's harder to do that than just do the real thing and love one another. You bring Fakey McFakerstein in. He comes in with a microphone in one hand and chiclets in the other, and don't bring a Bible and says, let me sing. Hey, listen, do you love everybody you go to church with? Then why are you bouncing all over the place like that? Well, I'm in the singing ministry. They wasn't one of them in the Bible. Not one. You need to be back in the gospel ministry. When we come to church to worship and praise the Lord, don't come like this. We come here to get into His Word and walk in Him. And He points out simply, as touching brotherly love, you need not to write unto you. Hey, listen, you know what love does? Love forgives things. I want to show you something here. Turn back over at Colossians. I think you missed something here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. I'll make sure everybody gets in on this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This is church people to church people. You're right here. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. What's that word forbearing mean? It means exactly what it says in the dictionary. It means to put up with somebody. And the definition in context is how long to do that thing? Well, how Christ did, that's how you do it. Listen, back on 1 Thessalonians 4. If you're going to walk in harmony, you got to walk in harmony with God first and then with your brethren second. And I don't mean these fake bunch of brethren that lay out a bunch of rules that they don't keep. I'm talking about the people you go to church with that love God, that try to live for Jesus, that want to walk in holiness and they want to walk in harmony. You learn how to put up with people. The late Marnice Hampton told me that ministry is a funny thing because people make a problem out of it, but if you don't have people, you ain't got a ministry. So as a young preacher asked him this question, I said, what do you do with them? He said, forbear them like God forbore you before he got you. I got to think about what God had to put up with that with me, and I thought, man, this crowd's easy to put up with. No matter how bad it gets, it's easy to put up with knowing what I know about me. And if God can put up with me, I can put up with anything. Now notice he says in verse number 10, he said he wants you to walk in harmony at church. And then he says, and indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Not only do you do it at church, you do it at other churches. You treat them just like you do folks here. You forbear, you forgive. Do you know there's times when I've seen churches get together and do things and they look like they're on opposing teams when they come in the door? Isn't that weird? We're on the same team. We're on the same team. And I don't like, listen, we go somewhere, if we move our services or go somewhere, we don't all have to sit together. We can spread out if we want to. But we want to be so in tune with walking in harmony with the Lord, we can walk in harmony with any other church too. In fact, we'd like to have them think we as visitors we got along with them so good. Unless they knew who we was. You know what the biggest surprise is when you go somewhere and you go in a church and sit down, they don't know who you are, and you don't listen. If you act like a human being, they'll be shocked. When you're easy to get along with, they'll be even more shocked. And when you ain't trying to take over the service, they'll even be more shocked. They want to give you a visitor's card then. Won't you come join our church? And then when they find out what you do and where you're from, they're like, oh, well, I'd let you lead in prayer if I'd known. That's why I didn't tell you. Don't want you to know that. Didn't come here to lead, came here to worship. One of the strangest things I've seen in my life is these vacation churches. You ever been to them? You go to vacation church, and down at vacation church, they want to recognize all the preachers that's there from out of town. Well, I started having to pack me a suit and go with me go places because now that they do that thing and I know it, I got to at least act like I'm halfway, you know, representing the Lord and everything else. I'm going to come in there like people come with a flowery shirt and all that stuff, you know. Hey, man, we're on vacation, you know. I want to come in there and act like I'm somebody and for the Lord Jesus, but also I'm walking in harmony and support that pastor. Because, see, sometimes them guys like that, they need to know there's somebody else out there that's doing what they're doing. And that they appreciate them. They need some help backing up with stuff like that. It doesn't cost you a dime to live right at another church. It don't cost you a thing. But boy, it's worth everything when you do. So how much does harmony mean? Well, let's hearken back to our favorite choir we hear sing. And, you got a choir up there singing Amazing Grace. And they're belting that thing out, amen, and all them high voices and all them low voices and all that's going in there and doing that. Well, if you hear one guy going, ah, in the middle of that thing, you know what? He's not in harmony with everybody else. Are you with me? Don't be the guy that stands out because you like to be a rebel. Be the guy that stands out because you don't stand out. Now notice this, God tells us to walk in holiness, he lets us know we need to walk in harmony, and he also lets us know we need to walk in honesty. Look down at verse 11. Here's honesty, two things. First part of verse 11, and that you study to be quiet. It's the first part of walking in honesty is minding your mouth. And by saying that, let me say this. The people that I think are the smartest people in the world rarely ever talk. The ones I think are the dumbest have already opened their mouths and proved everything, including me. I do that. But if you'll pray and we'll get God to get us some help here, I think if we'll walk in honesty and let God manage our mouth, we'll be in a whole lot better shape than we were this time last year. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I just told them what I thought. Well, you probably ought not tell that sure enough. Because, see, your heart's desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17. If your heart's that desperately wicked and your mind is kind of, you know, well, I just can't remember nothing. If your mind's like that, that desperate heart's going to take over that. And before long, that open mouth's going to let all that stuff out. We want to keep all that back in there. Why is that? Because he didn't say study to go off, how you can tell everybody off. Study to keep thyself quiet. Study to be quiet. Do you know, the most frustrating in the world thing is, and this is my personal thing, it may be me, if not, I understand. But when you've raised your children and tried to make them do right, and you remember how you had to do them when they was little, keep them in line, because as children they didn't know no better. Now that your children's this big, somebody comes along with something this big, and they criticize you for how you done it, but they won't even make that thing shut up. Am I talking to somebody? Am I helping you tonight? Hey, listen to this. I could tell them how to do that. It's real easy. I done been through it. But if I'll keep quiet and let that thing talk, it'll teach you. Nothing wounds pride like your children telling everything.
Yep.
I see that. The biggest lesson we need to learn is this. Study to what? Be quiet. Everybody's exercising how they're going to tell somebody off. You don't need to tell nobody off. Walk in honesty. Best thing you can do is probably not tell them off. You know why? Well, you ain't got too many friends now. Try to keep the ones you got. So, well, I got 4,064 Facebook friends. Like I said, you ain't got many friends anyway. You know them's digital friends. That ain't real life. They listen, we have some people on there, they need to call it fake book anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. The bad thing is I'm using their free airwaves to tell this. But they're not the ones started, it's the people on it. Mm-hmm. Amen, friend. Yep. Walk in honesty. Study to keep thyself quiet. And then he says, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You need to mind your mouth, and then let me put it this way. To walk in honesty, you need to mind your business. The worst people in the world you run into is somebody who don't sweep their own porch and tell you how dirty everybody else's porch is. He points out in that verse that you may walk honestly to them that are out. How are we going to do that? By minding our own business. You know, I'm not one of them people that drives around and looks at everybody's yard. I could care less if you cut your grass or not. I don't care if it's this high or this high or this high. I don't care. I don't hand out trophies. I don't give out awards for it. And by the way, I'm not looking for any either. Okay? When people come to me and tell me, they say, have you seen how such and such keeps their yard? No, I don't care. Not worried about that. Well, I went in such and such house, it's a pigsty. I ain't worried about them either. This person I know ain't washed their car since 1976. I ain't worried about them. I'm going to worry about what happens over where I live at. Make sure mine gets cut and mine gets washed and mine don't have pigs running around in it. Hey, you need to mind your business. I try not to meddle in nobody's business the best I can, because I found out something. It never works. Over the years, I've seen abusive husbands that were emotionally abusive to their wife. I've seen people try to get in there and help them people. And you know what happens? Now the wife hates them and the husband hates them. And he's still emotionally abusive to her. Here's an even better one. I remember being with some friends one night, and a case of physical abuse occurred between the husband and wife. He told her he wanted to do something. She said, I ain't going to do it. And he said, well, y'all excuse me just a minute. And next thing we heard was plates flying across the room and everything else. And one of my friends looked at me and said, we need to go in there. I said, I ain't going in there. You know why? Because you go in there, you got to fight two of them instead of one of them. Because you're going to pull him off of her. She's going to say, get off my husband. With both her black eyes, she's going to jump on you. Probably need to mind your business. And besides, I wasn't in there to see who threw what to start with, so I don't know what's going on anyway. They can figure that out. And if we need the police, they experts at figuring that out. They come down there and lock everybody up and sort them out downtown. Let them take care of that. I ain't worried about that. But when people try to mind everybody else's business all the time, the only thing they do is become hated people. Listen, it may take you a lifetime to learn this, but you ought to learn it now. Walk in honesty and just take care of you. Do help everybody out. Do be a blessing to others when you can. But just mind your rows and don't worry about how they hoeing theirs. Listen, try to make sure that while you taking care of you, if you see them not taking care of them, notice this. People are not out for advice. They're out to give advice. They ain't looking for nothing. But do your best just to walk honestly before God, honestly before them, mind your mouth and mind your manners and mind your own business as to where your prayer life will work better than your advice life will. Right now, I'm sure that somewhere in this world, there's somebody who has heard our choir sing that says, I can do a better job than that. You probably can. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But guess what? They did something you didn't do. They showed up. Mm-hmm. They came. They said, Lord, use me. And God said, I'll use you. And he did. Now, if we was looking for stars and singing with the stars and dancing with the stars would help, big competition, got it all together. But that ain't what we're here for. Likewise, I'm sure, and I'm 99% positive sure of this, that our choir is probably the best choir I've ever heard. Now, I'm partial to that thing, especially today. As the backup punter for this outfit, I'd like to say that. But I'm not going out trying to find out who's doing it better and who ain't doing it better. Somebody told me that there's a church way up the road somewhere that they could sing for an hour. Here's the good part. They preach for an hour behind it too. Get them.
Amen.
But I'm not worried about whether he's going to preach for an hour and have an hour singing. I got to worry about what we doing down here. Amen. Listen, let me tell you how they say it up in town. Mind your business. They say it's about one syllable word right there. Mind your business. Right? Walk in honesty. Take care of you. Do what you're supposed to do and let God help other people out. You help them out when you can, but remember, they're not after your advice. They already don't listen to it, just like you didn't listen to people back then. But now you need to let your prayer life speak for more than itself, because if you as close to God as you say you are, you can pray that crowd where they need to be at. So what is that? That's honesty. That is show enough honesty right there. If you know God like you say you know God, get a hold to God and get God on them. I was sitting in a restaurant, Brother Carter and two Mormon boys sitting over beside us. They kept looking over at us, snaring at us, sneering and stuff. He finally leaned over and said, boys, I can pray God on you. Can you pray him off? Boy, you talking about looking down and finding something else to do and everything else. They found it quickly. He said, no, I just don't like that. I said, don't pray him on me either. I don't want that either. I'm not sure I can get him off either. Hey, friend, listen, walk in honesty. Walk in honesty. See, the problem with folks today is, do you know that there's a thing in this world called a lie detector test? You know there's a bunch of crooks figured out how to beat that thing? I used to know somebody worked for a convenience store. And they said every so often they'll come in there and be so much money short, they had to put a lie detector on everybody. You know who's stealing the money? The person telling the story. And they said, I know how to beat that thing. I thought, well, you're the best liar they got. Imagine this, people's losing jobs left and right, and the thief was there amongst them the whole time because of their lie detector test. You may slide by one of them, but listen, you need to walk in honesty because this, God will turn that thing out on you one day. One day he'll pull back the sheets and let everybody see what you've been doing. Walk in honesty. Walk in honesty. The devil will lie about you, but walk in honesty and keep going for Jesus while you got time. See, these are all things we do leading up to the rapture. Holiness, harmony, and honesty. Three values every Christian ought to practice every day of their life. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Let's stand. Let's live our life like he'll be here in the next 5 minutes. Lord, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you.